Drive with Julian Clover.
Getting you home.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Hello to Jamie Mountford, who has braved the Cambridge traffic.
Oh, it's been terrible getting here. It's been awful. I actually parked up at one point and went to run down the street, but, you know...
No, I don't think that's a very wise idea, actually. But personal experience suggests your car might not be back there when you get back
that.
Again.
Then I realised I was 10 miles away, so...
Also not a good idea. We're going to talk about pop-up restaurants today, because it's one of these sort of emerging phenomena. Really? Can you have an emerging phenomenon? I think you probably can. You see various trends and in food. I guess the rise of the food van is one of them. But the other one, pop-up restaurants, be they for a couple of weeks or maybe just for an evening. And I'm wondering why that might be.
Well, it seems that social media, the chefs have actually become quite popular with it, and they've started to get followers and so on. And
the ability for a chef or just an organisation to do instant publicity for something.
It's just straight out there, you know, getting public attention. There is people out there who really want really good food, and then you've got talent out there, which are the chefs that you see on TV, the master chefs, professionals, the master chefs. Who have got the passion and the drive for it, and it allows the chef to actually deliver the food that they want to deliver. So they tend to gather a crowd up who want to eat the food that the chef that they believe in wants to produce. You know, you can go to a restaurant and you look at the menu and you think to yourself, oh, would I like that or would I not? But then if you know the personality behind it, you kind of think, do I trust him? Yes, I do. I want to go taste
his food. I guess it's the same way as a gig, really, isn't it? Instead of singing, it's the chef in charge of the kitchen and bringing out the food that his audience wants.
Her
audience wants, for that matter. Yeah,
It's his job to manipulate the ingredients that Mother Nature gives us at the end of the day, and that's what people want. So.
Well, any idea of the sort of costs, which like a top rank chef, you know, somebody like, I don't know, Gordon Ramsay anybody who might turn up on Saturday Kitchen, say?
Well, for a tasting menu, you know, you can charge about £70 to £120, you know, depending on what you're actually delivering, really. You know, if I'm going to do a tasting menu, I'm going to do 6 courses, so you got to take all the cost into account, and then preferably do a 60 to 70% gross profit on it to make any money on it, really.
Oh, so that's quite good. I know we'll talk about it in a minute or so. If you're a charity who's putting something like that on, that could actually be a pretty good fundraiser for you.
Well, I've done one already. A lot of planning involved, a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of passion, a lot of organising people, organising dietary requirements, how big it's going to be. It's stressful. And the biggest thing I learned after my first one was it's not over when the last meal goes. You've still got to clean up. You've still got to return things, you know, to anybody who's sponsoring it.
Oh, goodness. I guess, it's not just a simple matter of just doing the washing up, is it?
No, you've got to take everything back to where you got it from. And, you know, the hardest thing for me on the pop-up charity night was getting out to see everyone, because obviously I'm in the kitchen. And by the time I've come out of the kitchen, everybody's like, oh, that was lovely. Thank you very much. See you in a bit. So,
They want some of your personality, or your, maybe, I don't know, telling them how. Why you chose particular ingredients and that sort of thing.
They were very interested in how I did things. You know, I did an apple gel, but I manipulated it so it looked like a Granny Smith skin, so it was that green, and they were really interested in how did I do that.
And is it more of a foodie audience, say, compared to regular service in a restaurant where you guess get people who want to go out and eat, really. They might want to eat things, but a foodie audience is going to be a little bit more critical, perhaps, a little bit more expectant.
I wouldn't say critical. I think if you deliver them something that they're not expecting, it, you know, do a Knickerbocker Glory and layer it up in different jellies and so on, and then do a flavoured ice cream on top, they're going to be like, wow, how did you do that? But it's taking a classic and redoing it in a chefy way. Mm. And that's what they love.
Tell me about the concept of the tasting menu. These tend to be, sometimes, you know, I've gone for tasting menus and have been already slightly concerned at the prospect of 7 portions to discover that it's actually 10 or 11 because they're bringing out little soups and things like that in between.
So what the chef is actually doing is he's boasting to you what he can do, and he's boasting, right, I've got a menu there, why not have a little bit of everything off the whole menu instead of just having the one or two dishes? So what he's doing is he's boasting that, you know, this is what this is and this is what that is, and these flavours work like that. So, you know, tasting menus for me are fantastic. They're a bit pricey, but you're gaining absolutely everything from the chef that you're paying the money towards and supporting his restaurant. So I've done a 6-course tasting menu on the next one, and what I'm doing is I've actually brought East meets West together, and what I'm doing is British food with Eastern flavours.
I was going to ask as to whether or not it's common for the chef to theme the tasting menu in some way, and by the sounds of things, that's certainly something that you want to do.
Well, that's what I've done, as it's a charity night. What I've done is...
And this is one which is upcoming, is it?
This is your planned one, up and coming. It's fully booked already, within 2 weeks of me advertising it, with a cancellation list. I've got 4 tables on there already, so, you know, there's a prospect to do a bigger one and better one.
Because there's no point in promoting it, in which case to anybody, it's all fully booked.
No, but it's fantastic that you can actually hear about it now. Well, I will do a next one, because this one, for me, I've been in charge of everything. I've taken control of everything, and this time I'm taking the bookings, I'm getting the emailing list. The thing that let me down last time is I didn't have an emailing list, I didn't keep it all, but the best thing is that it's fully booked already. I'm hoping to raise...
So the email list, in other words, to keep people up to date on...
Keep people
on
up to date with
what's
it.
What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on. And obviously, you know, I did my first one 6 months ago. I thought, come on, let's go do something bigger and better. And this time I've got 20 sponsors, which are fantastic. I've done the tasting menu, whereas the first one I did a choice menu, so I was a bit unconfident that if I did a tasting menu people wouldn't really want it, but what's actually turned out,
so a choice menu, now is that simply where you sit down, I'll have that and that,
so yeah, you come for a 3-course menu, and I've done it was ridiculous, it was a headache. I've done a menu that, yeah, there's 5 starters, 5 mains, 5 desserts, or I think I did 3 or 4 starters, whatever, but people chose. So on, you know, I think I did 40 people, and everybody, you know, you sit them table by table in a small kitchen you've never worked in before, and you're delivering, you know, 3 different types of dishes to 1 table, and you've got to get this out within 2 hours. So,
ooh, that's a bit of a challenge.
It was painful, but I loved it. I'll tell you what, I loved it. It's great.
Have you got a copy of the new menu in front of you?
Yeah, I've got a copy of the tasting menu, which is the East meets West, and one of them...
Okay, sorry. If we hold it there,
What we'll do.
Be calm. We'll do some travel, then we'll come back. We might go through that menu, I think, and have a little look and see what people can be expecting. Monsoon, Ever So Lonely, which is kind of an East-West fusion, which is what is going to be the menu, which the Drive chef, Jamie Mountford, is going to be putting together shortly. Now, this is taking place when, this little pop-up event?
It's going on the 11th of November at the Black Horse in Swaffham Bulbeck.
And already you're telling me the places are... We've basically got more people who want to come than you've got seats to seat them at.
Yeah, I thought it had 60 seats, but it turns out there's only 58, 57. So, yeah, I'm going to have to take a couple of chairs with me on the night, I think.
But oh, dear.
We will do it. We will do it.
So definitely. run through the menu and sort of your thought in putting it together.
So my thought was is that, you know, there's a lot of people out there who like their Asian food, who like their chicken tikka masalas and so on. And what I thought is, how could you combine this? And I did a bit of research. And I've tried a little playing around with it, and I actually did a menu a little bit similar to the one I've done here at work. We put it on as a tasting menu, and it flew out. And I thought, you know, if it's flying out now, let's just go and do it somewhere else. But, you know, change things and do things. And, you know, I've created a menu, and because it's for charity, you know, I'm being able to do what I want to do as a chef, my passion, everything. It's just like, come on, let's have it, you know what I mean? So,
so you don't have any owners breathing down your neck to a certain extent.
As long as
it's edible, which from personal experience I know it is going to be, it's not a problem.
So, I'm really excited about it because I'm being able to do what I want to do. So, I'm giving it a go. Let's have it. The only pressure I've got is the pressure I've put myself under. And I'm turning out 300 plates of food in an hour, maybe 2 hours, you know. So, this is quite a lot of pressure, but that's what I live for. That's what I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. So,
honestly, what do we get when we sit down, then?
So, when we sit down, what I've done, have we started yet? That's the name of the amuse-bouche. Don't want to really name it amuse-bouche. It's called a little hot and sour soup, crispy shiitake mushroom, crispy truffled Suffolk gold cheese brioche burger. So I've got a bit of cheeseburger in there. What I'm doing is breadcrumbing it. I'm going to be doing some...
There's a little baby one, or is it
a
full-size?
Yeah, a little tiny baby one.
Yeah.
So you got a soup and bread, basically, but I'm doing a hot and sour soup, but it's not too spicy. It's just a little bit hot to please everyone, really. So I'm taking in people's, you know, taste buds and so on. And what I've done with this menu is Cambridge Events Company, who's joined on board, they've matched the wine with every course.
Oh, nice.
And they've done it at £25, and it's cost price. So that's their donation.
And that's... Is it also... It's important, obviously, to match the wine.
Yes.
And the food as well. Do you end up alternating between something which is going to set the taste buds alight and then maybe something...
What we've done is we've...
Not bland, but calmer for the next thing on the list.
Yes, there is that. So what we've done is we've teamed up the flavours of the wine with the food.
Okay.
So we've almost added to the menu. And yeah, they're not wines that are going to blow you away as in, you know, your taste buds, but they are subtle wines. And they're actually...
Is it white wine first and then moving on to the red wine?
It's all matched up, yeah. So it all should work. Well, it will work. So, and then, you know, the wine list that we've got on there is very similar to Bedford Lodge, which, you know, is speaking volumes, really. So the next course, we've got barbecue flavour, I've called it. It's char, sayu, pork shoulder, crispy kale, pineapple, crackling quaver, gammon and thyme broth. So I'm slow cooking pork shoulder for 24 hours. I'm going to add barbecue flavours with Asian spices, pineapple. Crackling quaver is a pork belly that's been dehydrated for 24 hours and then basically deep fried, and it actually tastes like a quaver crisp. Very strange, very
you know,
out there.
The quaver crisp is the first ever snack which was produced in the UK.
Was it really?
Other than crisps.
Really?
Crisps. Yeah, it's the first one before hula hoops, before what's it. So there was the quaver, first of all ever.
And then we've got a classic, I've called it, dive caught scallop. So this is my taste on a scallop dish, but done in a British way. So we've got sesame flavour, which is Asian, but chip shop curry sauce, pickled ginger, spring onion, and Estrella beer scraps. So you know when you do deep fried fish and chips, you get the scraps at the end? Or at the end of your chip bag. You know?
Oh, yes.
So that's what I'm garnishing it with. Give it a bit of a crush.
Nice.
Know, crunch, sorry. And then is it something says honey glazed satay ribeye, traditional Sunday lunch garnish. So what I'm doing is I'm doing a ribeye steak, but what I'm doing is I'm doing a whole joint of ribeye. I'm carving it like a Sunday lunch. And I'm doing the satay flavours, and I'm not actually using peanut for it. I'm using something else, but I'm not going to tell you what my secret ingredient is. So it's safe for
glad it's not peanut.
I'm keeping it safe for the allergens out there. Yeah, you're allergic to peanut.
I'm very allergic. I've had a close shave with a mince pie earlier, but that's not
really.
Story.
And then what I'm doing is I'm playing it safe with the garnish, but yeah, I'm playing with the flavours of what I'm doing with the ribeye. The best bit, of course, the blackberry Granny Smith apple cheesecake with Szechuan pepper ice cream. Way out there. Way, way out there. But it works. It flavours work. We've done it at work. And it is an amazing... It's a cheesecake, English, and the pepper ice cream just has a bit of bite when you're
pepper
going through
ice.
It.
I've come across this before.
Granny Smith apple works with the spice. And then the best bit of what I'm doing is I'm doing a takeaway bag because it's based on Asian and English. So what I'm doing is a takeaway bag with leaflets in from the sponsors and a passion fruit macaron, which will be made by me and in a box. And the best part about this, there's 300 plates. And the best thing is I got in touch with a company called A Place Setting. And they said, we will happily give you the plates for the events. Just, you'll have to...
Do you have to give them back again?
Yes. They're actually going to do the washing up for me.
Oh, I like that plan,
and they're going to deliver it.
Because what do you do if you do a pop-up restaurant and then discover there's no dishwasher?
Well, what I actually discovered is that there was no plates at the restaurant. So I was like, wow, I've got to sort this out. I've already got bookings. They were fantastic, I tell you. And then on the day as well, Paula Pryke from the Weeping Willow, she's doing all the flowers. She's doing a wreath for the... raffle, a signed book by her. She's been absolutely amazing with support.
And the charity that this is all in aid of?
Headway Cambridgeshire. Then this is in memory.
Very worthy organisation.
Yes, very, very much so. As experienced by my father, my late father.
Yeah.
Very, very emotional. And on the day, I'll be very emotional due to the fact that my father came into my life when I was 5 years old. Brought me up, taught me to tie my shoelaces. You know, at the age of 10, I couldn't read or write or say the alphabet, and he was always there to support me, and I was always top of my class by 16 years old. And then when he passed, you know, I changed my name to Jamie Mountford because I used to have a different surname by my biological father, out of respect. And, you know, thank you very much, Dad, for making me who I am today.
Well done. That's good. Well, look, we mentioned this. We won't give too many details simply because the event is... booked out, but we'll certainly mention the next time around that you do one, when there's some places
to do.
As always, Jamie, lovely to speak to you.
Thank you.
See you again in a couple of weeks' time. I'll try and remember the date. I'm not entirely sure, but I will check beforehand. We shall work that all out. Podcast on all of this on the website at some point over the weekend.
Thank you.
If you missed any. Next door.
Cheers for that. I'm starving.
He's not brought any food with him this time.
No, I'm absolutely starving now. Cheers. No, seriously, though, well done. Fair play. Here's one for you, Mr. Clover. The first mascot of Quavers was a hyperactive cartoon dog. Can you name it?
I can't, no.
Colin Curley, created by Bob Laurie and voiced by Lenny Henry.
Lenny Henry?
Apparently so. That's what Wikipedia says. The internet's never wrong.
I'm disputing this because Quavers have been around for a long, long time.
Well, that's what it says here. There's also a second boy named Quentin Quaverhead in his family. They were shown in a memorable advert in 1996 made by Aardman, featuring Quentin trying to catch a quaver that had blown out of his bedroom window, ending with the slogan, "Their floaty light."
Other crisp snacks are available with a selection of E-numbers.
Absolutely. After six, I'm in a 90s mood to start with. Then we're going to move into the 80s. You can change things. Lines are open. We can have a good time.
90s move.
We
can go into the 80s.
We can later.
So Ghostbusters in the second half of the show, Ben.
We're not having that. You've ruined a perfectly good day now.
Sorry.
See you after
Thank
six.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.